The title of this morning's message is My Single Devotion. Singles, if you felt that I've been neglecting you, think no more. This is for you. But it's also for each and every one of us as married couples, because there's a lot to take away this morning. My single devotion. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 32 through 35. So as you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I want to just tell you this, and it's nothing new, it's nothing that you don't know, but singles are plagued today with conflict. Society muddies the waters with examples of marriages that last a few years, sometimes a few hours, sometimes a few days, and then people move on to another marriage and make the same mistakes in that marriage that they did going into the previous one. In fact, 72 days. How many of you know already what I'm talking about? We're talking about a 20.5 carat diamond engagement ring worth $2 million, a wedding band that was a little less than that, $200,000. Let's see here, $2 million for flowers, $50,000 for a bachelorette party. I can go on and on and on. It was a very lavish wedding. Of course, I'm talking about Chris Humphries and Kim Kardashian. So 72 days is as long as their marriage lasted. That's it. And we saw it publicized on TV. We saw this big, just a lot of attention that it's gotten, and it's still getting today. 72 days. But it's typical, unfortunately, of other marriages that even last 7.2 years. You know, that there's that seven-year itch. Why? It's because we're looking for fulfillment in our spouses when we should be looking for, first of all, satisfaction and contentment with our Lord first. If you don't have it there, you'll never have it with your spouse. Bettina and I were watching a movie called Marriage Retreat about a week ago. And it's on Netflix. And it's, if you have Netflix, it's one that I would definitely recommend you watch. Marriage Retreat. But there's this one scene where three ladies, they're friends and they're there with their spouses, and they come around to the campfire, and there is the director of the retreat center with his wife, and they're talking. And so, of course, the ladies, as righteous and holy as they are, they come in behind him and eavesdrop, right? And so they're there, and they're listening in. They want to, well, you know, when your marriage isn't going so well, you want to hear how others really aren't going all that well, right? It just brings you comfort for whatever reason, right? You guys do it. Come on. People do that. And it's sad that people do, but that's what they do. Well, these three ladies. All right, get back to the story. Three ladies, they're eavesdropping. And one thing that they heard, which totally blew them away, was that the retreat director's wife said this: I passionately desire a relationship with Jesus Christ so that I could love you more. And that was, to them, it was revolutionary. It was like, wow. It's not the love with their spouse that they're looking to grow first, that they should be looking to grow first. It's first with Jesus Christ, with another man. And then that love will pour out to their spouse. What we need to realize, though, is that marriage is like everything else on earth. Temporary. Sometimes we think it's eternal. It's not. It's temporary. And like any other earthly possession, marriage is not required for our present happiness or fulfillment. Are you listening up, singles? Are you listening up, married couples? It's not. We treat it as if that is going to bring fulfillment. That is what's necessary for us to be happy, for us to be content, and it's not. In fact, marriage should not be a person's ultimate goal in life, or it becomes an idol. Idolatry. We can practice idolatry in and of, in our own relationship with our spouse. Even marriage itself, we can put above our relationship with Jesus Christ. The object of your affection should never be replaced with anything else. A future spouse if you're single, or your spouse if you're married. Because it's in your single devotion to God that you will love your spouse out of a passionate desire to please God, whom you are first devoted to. When you cling on to Him, He'll give you that love that's necessary to make anything work. But you first got to have that relationship. If you're neglecting that, trust me, you're neglecting the relationship you have not only with your spouse, but also with others as well. With others, whether it be your friends, whether it be your family, whether it be your coworkers, and definitely not following through with doing those things which God has commanded each and every believer to do. And that is the Great Commission. Right? God tells us that those who run into a strong tower are safe, according to Proverbs 18:10. God's tower not only provides safety, but it also lifts us above our problems, our circumstances that we look at, the situations that we find ourselves in. That's what going into God's Word does for us. It's not only a safe haven, but I pray that every time you come into here, you know, that you are brought into a safe haven. But you are also lifted up above all your problems, all your circumstances, even things that you think are okay, lifts you up and gives you a bird's eye view of reality according to God's truth. I know that within our own families and among friends, singles are provoked to look for and marry, especially you young ladies. I challenge you this morning to think about what you're talking about, what you're going to hear, and what you're talking about as far as marriage is concerned. Okay? To think about it, to allow the warnings to sink in as far as placing a future spouse as a priority over the Lord. Including you married folks, your spouse. I challenge you to first have a single devotion to God. Remember what Scripture tells us, but seek first the kingdom of God, except if you're married, and His righteousness. No, it doesn't say that, right? It doesn't give any conditions. Jesus simply says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew 6:33. Everyone benefits from this because your time and energy isn't spent on trying to do God's work. What's God's work? He'll bring a spouse to you. He'll couple you up with someone that is equally yoked. But sometimes we get that out of order. We're trying to look for someone, no matter what, to bring that happiness and contentment that only God can do. And it's His work. It's not your work. It's His work. Okay. So let's get into the Word, right? Three things. Double devotion, consumed with marriage. We're going to look at that. Blurred devotion, which is errors in singleness. And single devotion, which is our goal this morning, a successful single life. All right, so number one. Double devotion, consumed with marriage. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting in verse 32. I want you to be free from anxieties. You're anxious? I'm anxious every morning when I'm sitting up here. I'm anxious, though, to preach the Word. It's like I want to explode. You know, I'm worshiping, and that's what I want to do. My leg is going. You ever anxious for something, your leg starts going, right? At least mine does. I'm like, oh, I'm antsy. I want to go. I'm thinking about it. Chomping at the bit, as they say, right? But the Word says here, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. Naturally, they are, right? Like not that we're given to, that we hold worldly pursuits above our spouse, but we're also looking to please our spouses. That's what we're supposed to do, right? To forget ourselves and be consumed with just taking care of them. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord. Singles, you getting this? How to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman, and this is a warning, right? Also, but the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you. Right? Because this is actually a deliverance. This is something that the Lord has taken a weight off of you. Right? Listen to this. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. That's why Paul is saying this to the Corinthians. The key here is the final verse that we read, to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. The problem is that our hearts are idol-making machines. There are these factories within our hearts that we're constantly producing things which we can worship, where we can put in a place which they don't belong. What ends up happening is that we divide our devotion up between the Lord and those things. Unfortunately, we are sadly deceived into thinking that idolatry, this idolatry that the Bible talks about, applies to possessions or money or maybe these false images that we bow down to. It's not only those things that idolatry is to be applied to. Could be the accumulation of material wealth, the pursuit and love of money, and the bowing down to an image carved or built by human hands is but only a few things that come to the surface, but they're not the only things that are defined as idolatry. The Bible describes idolatry differently. The Bible describes idolatry as placing anything or anyone before God as the object of allegiance and devotion. Let's pray right now. Father, I pray right now that just with that statement alone, that if there is anything or anyone that is placed above you, that we recognize that, Father, and that we put things in proper perspective, and that you help us, Lord, strengthen us to be singly devoted to loving you. And in turn, I know that you will give us the proper love for those who we want to love to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. This also describes our spouse, anyone, anything. We can be so consumed with the thought of our future spouse bringing us happiness that we place them before God, and again, brings us to the place to where we're idolatrous. We're committing idolatry. Idolatry was a constant temptation in the lives of the Corinthian believers. I mean, they just came. They were new believers. They came from a pagan society. In fact, the society in which they lived in was still pagan. It was a polytheistic worship of many worldly things. We have that today. Today there's the worship of the false god of sports as we gather in small groups within small fellowships we call homes. We look into these screens upon which we see tens of thousands of fellow brothers and sisters all chanting for the same team, right? I mean, sometimes we paint our faces and war paint and even our bellies, right? We put on weird objects on our heads, including cheese. And we see this temple of the gods with tens of thousands of people roaring and chanting. And hopefully that is all encouraging to the team. And by the way, we become enemies of our opponents just along with them, right along with them. Today we worship the false god of fashion by roaming the gods' halls looking for something to wear that will glorify them and impress others. We wear their face paint and adorn ourselves with their medals, right? Guys, we go into sporting goods stores and Did you get that? Okay. It's recorded. No, you get the point though, right? We tend to do that. We slip into that, not even recognizing it, and not even knowing that we've slipped into a place to where we place other things above God. Just something to think about. So let's climb God's high tower and see how marriage and family can also become idolatry, because our Lord tells us that whenever we put anything above Him, our allegiance, our devotion, then it's idolatry. Remember, Paul brought this up to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. He's speaking to you this morning. Media. Let's talk about that. Websites, books, they're all matchmaking, right? Websites, books, magazines, programs on TV. These things are not evil in and of themselves. They're not. They really aren't. And there's been, and I think that there will continue to be, couples that come together because of these programs that are successful. They make it. But what happens is you're looking in these, like let's say for instance a website. You're looking for what? The perfect spouse, right? You are. You're looking for the perfect spouse. Are you compatible according to your likes and dislikes? You know, marriage, I've heard this said, marriage is not for happiness, it's to make you holy. It's for holiness. For those of you who have been married for more than 10 years, can I get an amen? Yeah. Because you know, right? It's like, my spouse isn't making me whole or happy. You know, he is actually making me holy. But we still need to be holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, given to that relationship. Okay? Commitment, devotion. No matter what. But you end up spending much time and money and energy looking for the right relationship when Jesus is waiting right there. You haven't given yourself wholly to Him to become holy for your future spouse. That's where the problem lies. Friends, especially married ones, they can straight out shame you into getting married. They're even looking, they're helping in your whole endeavor, right? Oh, I got someone for you, and we're going out on a date, and I want you to come along. And I think you guys are perfect for each other, right? So friends can do the same thing. They can hook you up with someone else, and it's this thing that goes on and on and on. It's just marriage is the focus, right? Listen. For those of you who are under the age that you can be married, personally, I don't think you should be dating because it's an emotional investment in someone else. What it actually becomes is something that is selfish. You're looking at someone else to bring you happiness. And you have this emotional investment and this emotional connection with someone. And then at some point, it's going to be ripped apart. What happens to that relationship? Right? Okay. So, in that, my opinion is worth nothing. Okay? That's just thrown out there. That's the way I see it. Okay? If you're of age that you can be married though, the only reason why you should be dating is to see if that spouse is that person could be a future spouse. If that person is worthy of marriage. By the way, are you worthy of being married yourself? Right? Alicia. What's that quote? I love that quote. You know which quote. Did you guys hear that? No? One more time. Rilla. So you want to find a godly woman? Seek God first. I love that. Guys, the thing is, just in thinking about this message, and I think back to the time when I was your age, when I was, you know, your age. I mean, it was like this place was the furthest thing from my mind. Church. I didn't want to be here. I didn't grow up in a home where we were brought up in church. Some of you, you have no idea. You have no idea the treasure that lies before you in the Word of God, in a family that loves God and is coming to church and making that a priority in the fellowship. You have no idea. I do. Take my word for it, you're in the right place. But you need to be so lost, so consumed with God, that if someone wants to find you, they have to look for Christ. That's the right place to be. Let's talk about family. Family can be well-intentioned, right? But be of greatest hindrance to your being singly devoted to Jesus Christ. Ladies, you're reminded that your biological clock is ticking. Right? So you're reminded of that. Men, you can be encouraged to find a lifelong mate that will fix all your woes and make you happy, only to find out that marriage is a lot of hard work for it to be successful and God glorifying. And the very work you weren't willing to put into your relationship with Jesus Christ, you now think that you can put into your relationship with your spouse. I'm not telling you these things to offend you, but if you find them offensive, then that's okay. The Lord, I pray, convicts you this morning. I will always speak straight with you. Always, always, always. Singles, you might want to think twice before asking me to preach another message directly speaking to you. But I say it in love, okay? Just understand that. The desire to have a spouse and kids is not sin. It's not. But to place that above or in the place of your relationship with Jesus is a sin. The problem is when too much emphasis is placed on marriage instead of Jesus. And that's what you're consumed with. So what does all this say about family, friends, and all of the influences we have around us? Listen. It helps us to put marriage in its proper perspective. As Christians, we need to see the value of a person being a single in the kingdom of God. There is great value in being a single. So don't have double devotion. Also, don't have blurred devotion. Errors in singleness is what we're going to talk about. Blurred vision can come due to a foreign object being in our eye. You know, when something gets lodged in our eye, our eyes get watery, we can't see straight until we remove that object from our eyes, and then we can see clearly, right? But during the time that we have this object in our eye, it's just difficult to see. When we have double devotion, we also have a blurred vision. That can be spiritually. When we're devoted to two things, we're divided, and it blurs, it kind of messes up our focus on Jesus Christ. Busyness. Let's turn it to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Verses 7 and 8. And Solomon writes, again, I saw vanity under the sun. One person who has no other, neither son or brother, yet there is no end to all his toil. And his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks, for whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure? Never ask that. This also is vanity and an unhappy business. single person, single people. You have all the time in the world. You have no responsibilities toward anyone else, really, at least in marriage. And so you fill it with other things that you think will bring you happiness, but actually in the end can lead to vanity. It's just kind of worthless. You can fill it with a career. In and of itself, it's not sin. But you can be so busy in career. Pleasure. We live in a society in the time of day in which everything is now. We want it now, whether it be on credit, whether it be just taking it. We just want everything right now. It's downloadable. What app do you want? You can have it now. Games, material accumulation, but that's all an error, and you end up with a blurred devotion to God. It's not pure, right? True joy is in serving others. When a single person's focus is only on themselves and they have no one that is receiving benefit from their life, it's again vanity. Vanity. It's in vain. And listen, marriage is only a channel of benefiting others. There's so many other ways that you can benefit others and serve God. What you need to ask God is to show you His purpose and plan for you, specifically. And when you truly and sincerely ask Him to show you your purpose and plan, He'll reveal it to you. But you need to ask expecting that He's going to show you. The problem is, not just for singles, but with married people as well, everyone, is that once He does reveal it to us, we go, oh, that's not what I was talking about. Let me pray some more and maybe You'll reveal something else to me, right? First Timothy 4. We're going to bounce around right now a little bit. First Timothy chapter 4. New Testament. About two-thirds back. First Timothy chapter 4. If you're not there quite yet, that's okay. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are scarred, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth." There's some religious cults, denominations, false teachers that for some reason are forbidden to marry. There's only certain foods that you can eat. It's just all these rules and regulations that are placed into the church. They're called liars. Right? That's one of the errors that the church can do, is that they can start placing all these things before you, when it's hard enough to keep the commandments that God has already given to us, right? Thank God it's not because of what we do or who we are, but it's what Jesus has done and who He is. So forbidding to marry, it's just wrong. It's unbiblical. We can go to that extreme. Be careful. Don't go there. Don't even come close to that place. The church is not to do this. And even though there's a great benefit to the church through the service of the unmarried, there's also great benefit to the church through the service of married people, right? So everyone has a place within the church. That's not for the church to do. Okay, so 1 Timothy, same place, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13, has this to say about idleness. "Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not." I don't know why I brought this up with singles, but because that's everyone, right? We can all do that, especially on Facebook. We can be gossips. We can eavesdrop. And that's a place where we can go and I remember I lived in this little town in Colorado for a short time, and the population of that town was 79 when I popped in. But as I came into town, and it was definitely town, you see the blinds opening up. Who's that? Some dark fella just came into town. We're going to see what's going on over there. Yeah. You can't tell. A bunch of white folk live there, right? Yeah. So, I was definitely, I brought some color into that place, and it was fun. Hopefully you know my heart. If you don't know me, I'm just making fun of myself. And all right. So we can be busybodies. We can be those people who are just kind of sitting idle and not, you know, we have so much time on our hands that we can use other people's lives to bring us entertainment. We can be busybodies that gossip and talk about other people and don't pay attention to our own lives and the purpose and plan that God has for us. Verse 10, just above this. This is what these widows should be known for. Verse 10 says, and having a reputation for good works. She has brought up children, has shown hospitality, so being hospitable, right? Has washed the feet of the saints. So hold on. No, I'm just kidding. It's all in service. Okay? This is what you should be known for. Sometimes we take our time and we don't give it away. We're not serving others. We say we're busy. It's like the hands and feet. Let's just say, for instance, that. Hands and feet. Saturday, yesterday, we did it here in the Riverside area. And I don't know, I'm going to call you on the singles. Did you not have the time to come? It's part of our ministry. Right? Sometimes it's like, I've been working all week. I'm tired. And we say we don't have the time when we have the time. Look back at that cross. God sacrificed his son on a cross like that. Can you sacrifice a few hours on a Saturday morning? Can you sacrifice a trip to serve others? Your time. We make up excuses and just to do away with those, right? I'm talking to everybody, not just singles. So have a reputation of good works, being devoted to every good work, as it says in verse 10. People, are you known for this? Our focus should not be on just being busy, or we may become workaholics. Rather, our focus needs to be on carrying out the purpose of God and what He has for us and plans for future, for now, for our lives, for the present, and the things He has called for us to do. Let us not be in error and have a double devotion or a blurred devotion. And thirdly and lastly, we are to have a single devotion. A successful single life is a life that is rightly devoted to God. Much is disappointing in this world, but God will never disappoint. He is not only with you all the time, but He will uphold you with His righteous right hand, is what the Word of God tells us. God blesses His children and desires the chief place in their heart. That means you. Why? Because He wants you to know that your fulfillment in Him, that it's in Him and no one else, and that you will serve others and find joy in it, because in the end, you're serving Him. So He wants to bless you. He wants to reveal Himself to you so that you are more bent towards Him and serving Him and His people. Because in the end, what you've done to the least of these, you've done to me, is what Jesus said. But this only comes when you have a single devotion to Jesus Christ. Singles bless and are blessed by God. Isaiah 54, 1 through 6. You don't have to flip there. I'll flip there and read to you. But Isaiah 54, 1 through 6 says this, "Sing, O barren one, who did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. You have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more, for your Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth is called, for the Lord has called you, like a wife deserted and grieved in spirit, like a wife of youth when she casts off, says your God." Much is said there. But God calls out singles to break forth into singing and cry aloud. Why? Because the people you bless will be more numerous than those with children. You see, as parents, we pour into our children. And then we're divided in our attention, and we also have others that we pour into as well. But single men, ladies, you have no restraints. You can pour into this person over here, that person over there. It's like you have no boundaries. It's just, it's right there. Your work is not divided. How many children do you want to have? How many people do you want to disciple and bring up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? How many people do you want to counsel? It's just go from one to the next to the next to the next. Your children can be more numerous than those who have born children. God says here to expand your ministry, to bless those around you. There are no limitations. God tells you also to not be ashamed or confounded at the fact of being single, but that your husband is better than all the rest. Who is it? It's the Lord of hosts. He himself, and he's your Redeemer, and he has called you. Sometimes we're ashamed, right? We're confounded. We wonder, Lord, I am whatever, you know, put in your age. I'm still not married. Why? And then you start going down that path. Just wondering why God has not brought you that person that you are to marry. When he's telling you, just get it right with me. I've got someone for you. He or she is right there. Single devotion, an amazing future with God. Now we start making our way back to our original text. But 1 Corinthians 2:9. Says, "What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. For those who are content with not being married, for the kingdom of heaven's sake, for the sake of the kingdom, your blessing is greatly multiplied, just by simply loving God. In fact, when you're wholly committed to the Lord, me personally, I can't put into words how it feels. What you experience yourself, the joy that you have, the measure of faith that's given to you, maybe a little bit more, that allows you to look beyond your circumstances and to experience that contentment that goes beyond even expression. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Simply love him. Nothing else initially but him. Please the Lord, be holy in body and in spirit. Now we come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and in spirit. Scripture says that you are to be anxious about the things of the Lord. Just as I started out this morning's message, if you're wholly devoted to Lord, the Lord, if that's your single devotion, if he is your single devotion, then you too, your leg will be jumping up and down. You'll be anxious to do that which pleases the Lord. He calls us to be holy in body and in spirit. Purity. You're to be pure in the use of your body. And God calls us to that. Sex outside of marriage is called fornication, and it's sin. Bottom line. Don't put yourself in situations to where you can compromise and fall into fornication. Just don't do that. Go out with a bunch of friends, but don't be alone with a person of that is the opposite sex. Be holy. Be consecrated in your spirit, with your body. Consecrated means to be set apart for the Lord's use. Again, this is just a call for you to set yourself apart for the Lord's use, to be singly devoted to him. And in turn, you know that he will bless you according to his word. To be holy in body and spirit means to separate yourself wholly to God in the things of God. And this is referring to the practical and the spiritual. In other words, you're to give yourself in to doing and being the person that is aligned with God's word by studying it and obeying it. And you're giving yourself to prayer and seeking to know him and his will for you according to the word. So singles, three things, right? Double devotion, consumed with marriage, no bueno, right? Secondly, blurred devotion, errors in singleness, just a skewed view of what marriage is, a worldly view of what marriage is. It's to have a blurred vision. Get into God's word and see what God's word has to say about you and how it is that he wants your complete devotion to him. Okay? And lastly, what I pray took place this morning. In couples, you eavesdropped, just as those three ladies did in that movie, right? Is that you truly get to that place of having a single devotion. A successful single life in Christ will lead to a successful married life, if that's what God's called you to. Because I can tell you that as you continue to read, there's some that are not called to be married. They're called to stay single and be completely devoted and committed to fulfilling what God wants to do through you. So with that, I'm going to ask Joe and Tim to come back up. If you need any prayer this morning, I would invite you to come up. The elders are going to be up in front. Just people who are here to be available for you to pray with. And some of you, just in hearing what I've been saying, whether you're married or single, are not lined up with the Word of God. This morning, you just have to spend that time with the Lord and repent of that. It means to turn from where you currently are and to head towards Christ and doing the things which do line up with the Word of God. If that's you, then I would invite you to come up. You don't have to. Just allow us to agree with you in prayer. And allow us to be just a person within the church that can also help you be accountable. That's what we're here to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. I pray, Lord, that as you've laid out your word for us to read, Father, you also give us your Holy Spirit that we may have understanding. And I pray that we're not a rebellious people. I pray that we are a humble people who are broken and contrite before you, and that we lay down those things which we've been grasping onto, that we've been holding onto with all our strength, saying that you will accept them and expect you to receive us for who we are, when in fact we're just being sinful and divided in our devotion to you. So, Father, speak to us as we close out this morning, and may we wholly surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen.